We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Anne Vandersteel.
Good evening and welcome to Right Now with Anne Vandersteel. 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal and zero noise. Tonight, Trump's choice for VP. Is it going to be Carrie Lake, Marjorie Taylor Greene, or somebody else operating in the shadows that might actually rise to the top? And the IRS whistleblower coming forward with more dirt on the Biden crime family. Mike Lindell hits a $5 million speed bump. Staples Street Capital. Was it a merger or money laundering when Fox was ordered to pay $787 million to Dominion in a settlement? The BRICS countries' GDP going up while the U.S. going down and ending up the oaths of office. That's right. They are in question for the Biden regime, his cabinet, and others. Lisa McGee with Vax Choice joins me later. All this brought to you by Satellite Phone Store. Go to Ann123.com, Ann123.com. Yes, I awoke to an emergency broadcast system message. It was a test, but are we losing communications? Get your insurance at Ann123.com. Be right back after this commercial.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just to give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
And while President Trump seems to not be in any sort of a rush to make a decision and understands that he has to let the nomination process play out, he has nonetheless talked through possible choices for vice president since well before he formally announced his candidacy last fall. In those conversations, he's indicated his interest in selecting a woman this time around. Well, it appears that this is the year of the woman, and the dynamic was actually on full display earlier this year at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference, where a trio of women who have been mentioned as possible contenders in the audience cheer Trump's headline speech. Those reps were Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Elise Stefanik of New York, and Carrie Lake, the news anchor who turned into the unfortunately failed Arizona gubernatorial candidate, although we all know she really won, who actually ended her remarks as a keynote event dinner by kissing a portrait of Trump that was placed on stage. Major breaking news. A major whistleblower has now exposed a deep cover-up in the Hunter Biden investigation and involvement at Merrick Garland, and in it, of course, a couple of corrupt do nothing but communist fake news talking heads like Lester Holt don't even have the audacity to step up and mention it on the evening news. An IRS whistleblower has actually informed Congress that he wants to come forward to reveal a cover-up in the tax evasion investigation focused on the first son, Hunter Biden. A lawyer for the official group, a lawyer for the official told a group of congressional committee leaders Wednesday that he wants to expose the, quotes, preferential treatment and false testimony to Congress by a senior political appointee. That unnamed whistleblower actually is a career IRS criminal special advisory agent who has been overseeing the ongoing and sensitive information of a very high-profile, controversial subject since early 2000. Mark Lytle, the attorney who wrote to nine members of Congress, that goes on to talk about Hunter, who is at this time 53 years old and acting still as a man-child, who isn't named in this letter. He says a congressional source confirmed that the complaint pertains to the first son, who reportedly borrowed about $2 million last year to pay off a tax bill assessed on income earned overseas. Well, according to Russell Fry with the House Judiciary Committee on Fox Business last night, he has this assessment.
Yeah, to me, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. You know, since we have taken the majority, we've been doing what Democrats have failed to do, which is to examine the Bidens' relationships with foreign entities, and is there any conflicts of interest that are going on here? And so now, on the heels of an already explosive report that there are multiple members of the Biden family connected to transactions to a Chinese energy company, now we have whistleblowers coming forward from the IRS. I mean, I think this is really problematic for the Biden family, and my question is, how deep does it go? What is this whistleblower willing to do? What are they going to say? But it's already alarming to me and to the American people that we're even in this position to begin with.
You know, it really is alarming to the American people that we are in this position, considering everything we know about the Biden crime family, how much money they've taken from China, the fact that Hunter Biden is involved in dealing with Burisma, taking money over in Ukraine. They're laundering money through Ukraine, and they're funneling it right back into the Democratic National Committee and some Republican candidates, I might add. This is why President Zelensky has the Biden crime family over a barrel. Between all of the sensitive information that has been taken from Hunter Biden's laptops, images of him with young children, images of him with Russian prostitutes, images of Hunter Biden doing crack cocaine, all of this and so much more is coming out. It's like a tsunami that won't stop coming ashore. This is why the Biden crime family is in the center of this mess. And the fact that an IRS whistleblower, a supervisory special agent who's involved in this, is now coming forward to wanting to testify, this is explosive. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we're going to see more and more chaos ensue, as to my opening statement with respect to a EBS, an emergency broadcast test, being done across Florida. People around the country have noted to me that, yes, they heard it as well. It's not been pervasive everywhere from what I can tell. But I'm also made aware of the fact that the same EBS is going to be happening in the UK this weekend. So I would expect more and more topsy-turvy times ahead, as they say, as the Biden crime family continues to be exposed. Speaking of getting exposed, it looks like Mike Lindell has some more exposing to do of the people that surrounded him during his cyber symposium summit. I say to that, fight on, Mike, because MyPillow CEOs, our favorite man of pillows, has been ordered to follow through with a $5 million payment to an expert who apparently debunked what he says is false election data. That's right. Mike has actually been ordered to shell out $5 million to this expert, claiming that he debunked his data related to the 2020 election. And this was a decision by an arbitration panel. Last summer at a cybersecurity summit, Mike Lindell vowed to award the multi-million dollar sum to any cybersecurity expert who could disprove his data. And according to this arbitration panel, they wrote in their decision that he proved the data that Lindell LLC provided and represented reflected information from the November 2020 election unequivocally did not reflect the November 2020 election data. Therefore, failure to pay Mr. Ziedman, who is the gentleman that challenged the data at the cybersecurity summit, failure to pay Mr. Ziedman those $5 million prizes was a breach of contract, entitling him to recover. Frankly, I think that is complete balderdash, and Mike Lindell needs to challenge that and continue to fight on. Now, speaking of a fighter, someone who I speak to on a regular basis, my good friend Mel Kay of The Mel Kay Show. I was speaking with her earlier this morning about the Dominion settlement. And of course, Fox's $787 million settlement is a big win. But for who? Is it for Dominion or is it for a buyout firm known as Staples Street? So let's talk about this. Let's get a little refresher here. Who is Staples Street Capital and what is their relationship with Dominion Voting Systems? Staples Street Capital bought Dominion Voting Systems back in 2018 with a $38 million equity check and an $80 million enterprise when it was an $80 million enterprise at the time, making it quite the value. It might have been actually the best private equity deal ever. And why is this significant? Well, Dominion agreed to drop its defamation lawsuit against Fox News in exchange for $787.5 million. And it was made known during that lawsuit that Dominion, who had been valued around $226 million in the run-up to the 2020 election, using exhibits that it didn't make public during the lawsuit, that it was actually up from the $80 million valuation when the acquisition of Dominion was clinched in 2018. Investors in the $265 million private equity fund that Staples Street was using for investments when it acquired Dominion include the University of Arizona's endowment, Travelers Insurance, and fund of funds manager Hauser Private Equity. Of course, founded in 2009 by Stephen Owens, a former Carlyle Group dealmaker, and Houtan Yaghuzbezadeh, a Cerebras Capital Management veteran, Staples Street invests in companies in a range of sectors, including financial services, healthcare, and chemicals. Gee, do we think the deep state has any control over those levers? Have we seen a lot of calamity in those sectors as of late, like banks going insolvent, like chemical toxic spills in East Palestine? Oh, I don't know. COVID with the healthcare sector for the past couple of years? That's right, folks. And another thing on my phone call with Mel that she reminded me of this, that Joe Biden actually goes to Thanksgiving at David Rubenstein, who is a billionaire philanthropist and co-founder of the Carlyle Group private equity firm. So you see, Staples Street Capital, the small buyout firm that actually owns Dominion Voting Systems, has scored a $787 million windfall after Fox News settled in this defamation lawsuit by the voting machine operator. And that amount is equivalent to 20 times the $38 million that the New York-based private equity firm paid back in 2018 to acquire a 76.2% stake in Dominion. Staples Street has $900 million in assets under management, and that $787 million win that Dominion got from Fox, which also comes with an acknowledgement of a court ruling from its cable news channel that it aired false claims about Dominion machines facilitating fraud in the 2020 election, is about half the $1.6 billion in damages it was seeking in its lawsuit. So they're trying to color it like a win, but frankly, we lose and the bad guys win again. All right, IRS is now paying $23 billion less in tax refunds for the 2023 filing season. This is, of course, worrying a lot of Americans. It has issued over $69 million in refunds, collectively worth $198 billion for the week ending April 7th. And, of course, comparing that to the $222 billion in refunds handed out in the 22 tax season, the 23 season's refund is about $23 billion smaller, or about 10% lower. So this is why folks might be getting just a little bit worried. And why is this happening? Well, understanding that they have lowered their payouts, the average refund between this year's filing season dropping from $3,175 to $2,878, declining by about 10% in the fiscal year. Of course, this comes back to a lot of the child's tax credits that are going bye-bye because COVID's over. This is your money right now. China, Turkmenistan, Q1 2023, guess what? Their trade is up and it's up 14%. BRICS countries won again, U.S. countries losing. That's right, as our GDP is dwindling, the BRICS nations are going up. Of course, we don't seem to have control over this because of the Biden regime in control, but that is something that needs to be addressed ASAP. China seeking to dethrone the U.S. dollar is another serious issue. These are all the things that we see happening immediately, and this is why I remind everybody every single day, get into gold, get into silver, go to KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann and get a consultation. It won't cost you a thing, but it might save you a lot. When we come back after the break, we're going to get into the oaths of office. This is something that it needs to be challenged at every single level, across every single municipality, all the way up to the federal level and the Supreme Court, frankly, because I contend we have frauds running the country and they're running away with your money. After the break, Lisa McGee with Vax Choice joins me to discuss what she discovered when she FOIA'd the oaths of office for the Biden regime.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today. With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Well, folks, you have been hearing me talk about this, and some of the stuff I've put out has gone viral lately when it comes to the oaths of office. What is the oath of office? This is when your public official swears an allegiance to the Constitution, typically with one hand on the Bible and one hand to the air, and they swear their allegiance to protect and defend the Constitution, which is representative of you and me, we the people. It's critical that this is done, not only in practice, but they also must sign it and swear it and have it notarized. It has to be in written format. That is the law. Well, one enterprising young lady whom I absolutely adore, she's with VaxChoice.com, took it upon herself 9 months ago to start going after the Biden regime. Lisa McGee, joining me now, took this initiative and discovered something very, very startling. Lisa, welcome to Right Now. It's great to have you here with me.
Thank you, Anne, for inviting me. You are a son that inspires a lot of people, and you inspired me.
Well, I just hope this sun doesn't burn out. But let's talk about what you've uncovered, because this is incredible. And I did a video on this last week it was a 3-minute video, and it's turned up on TikTok, it's turned up on Instagram, it's everywhere, it's gone viral. But it's because your work is incredible. You and some others got together, but primarily you, FOIA'd, Freedom of Information Act, requested the oaths of office. Walk us through the process, and who did you specifically target, and why did you decide to do this?
Well, thank you. I all of us were affected by COVID, you know, the scandemic, and had everyone was affected in some way. And I was, and got fired from my job and joined a group of mama bears, fellow parents, because that happened to me personally. But then we started noticing in our kids' schools, you know, these school board members coming in and making these decisions that they had no authority to make, they had no medical background to make, and particularly in my son's school, he was a sophomore in high school at the time, and they wanted to put in a COVID jab clinic having these kids be able to get their vaccines without parental permission. And that's when I have a lot of patience. I put up with, you know, as we do, we put up with a lot. And I just said, no, this is, what is going on here? You know, just, this is not, this is too, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
And so I began with this group of parents to FOIA for school board members, oaths of office, and uncovered shocking evidence of incomplete, deficient, not filed appropriately with the Secretary of State office, which every state, in every state, all public officials are to file their oaths of office affidavits with the Secretary of State, all of them. And they are to be dated, signed, and notarized. There are some exemptions for, or not exemptions, there's a, you can do the penalty of perjury, and I'm blanking right now on that statute, but that can be, you can do either or, but one of those has to be done. So that, I had that in my, you know, tool bucket. I had learned what I needed to learn, and it inspired me, and it kind of torched this flame in my belly of, what's going on here? And I had been paying attention. You know, I'm a middle-aged woman who's sitting around at home and following the news, but going, you know, just seeing what's happening across the globe.
Right.
And God, this is a mission of God too. God guided me to Todd Callender and his team, and Vandersteel, you know, you're part of that team. This incredible revival of gods, of truth tellers, and people who are on this mission to expose the truth, who are telling the truth, and who are sharing a torch to do this.
Yeah.
This is about accountability and integrity and morals, and, you know, the very obvious of oaths of office for public officials, all of them, and all is all caps. It is every single elected or appointed official. And
I just wanted to, go to the writ of quo warranto really quickly, if I could, because as you said, this applies to every elected public official, whether it's the dog catcher or it's the mayor of your town or it's the, you know, president of the United States.
Yes.
Everybody swears an oath and has to sign an oath. That is the law. So in order to, once you started to FOIA some of the people at the top, because we've seen, you know, these mandates, right? The military, we watched how Todd Callender fought tirelessly and saved tens of thousands of people from getting the jab in the military with the work that he and his team did. This led you to the Secretary of Defense, Mark Milley, right? Why would the Secretary of Defense basically want to give people a death sentence by forcing this jab that has got, you know, horrible results? Obviously from their own data, right? The Department of Medical Epidemiological Database, the DMED data showed horrific adverse event profile with those shots.
Horrific.
Why would he do it? So is that what made you decide to FOIA him and find out he doesn't have one on file?
Yes. So I was doing some research on Lloyd Austin particularly, and I thought, you know what, just what we're seeing.
Said Mark Milley. I meant Lloyd Austin, my bad. Sorry.
That's okay.
Wrong Seth, old Seth.
Although we should FOIA for his too. We should FOIA for his too. He's on my list. But you know, I mean, the very obvious here is, and the common sense comes in. I don't have a legal background, you know, at all. I've learned the law. I'm fascinated by it, and it works if people use it properly. You know, if that's what it's about. And I started questioning exactly what you just said, Anne. Why? What is going on is so heinous and so devastating to the citizens of our country, United States, but globally. These people who are, you know, overseeing these others that are doing that, or are this, you know, the head of these departments, HHS, you know, CDC, FDA, Department of Defense, they are participating in this destruction. So do they have an allegiance to the people who they're destroying? No, of course they don't. And so that sparked this, you know what, I'm gonna FOIA for their oaths of office, because an oath of office, you know, it's what, four sentences. And it has been the same four sentences since this country started, pretty much. There's no wiggle room to alter that, to water it down, to change it up. And it is, it's legally required. 5 U.S. Code Section 3331. It is what it is. And then with appointees, federal appointees, it needs to be filed with the Federal Register within 30 days of their appointment. There's no exceptions.
Right.
And so you start to think, you know, that's pretty simple. They've got a team to help them do all that. Why would they not do that? You know, that's a looming question that I want to present, part of my mission is that we get to ask those questions as the citizens who they're making these horrific decisions for or against two, you know, and everybody can FOIA. You know, the Freedom of Information Act is so, it's still, you know, I mean, I think it's been hijacked a little bit and I got pushed back and I was stonewalled, but you have to go into it with the assumption that you're going to have to keep going at them and going at them and asking, but we get to demand that. They work for us. It isn't right. The other way around. And I started thinking this, Anne, and it was also a motivator. Like these public servants, you know, these people are public servants to serve their constituents, to serve the citizens of this country, you know, on a global scale, those representatives in other countries, they are there to provide and make decisions based on the best of those citizens.
That's right.
And we're noticing, and have noticed it for a long time, these very same public servants seem very agitated and annoyed by the commoners that they're serving.
That's right. Can I point something out really quickly? I want to just show you on this writ of quo warranto, because this is where it leads. We have only got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure the audience sees this in writing. If we can pull up the writ of quo warranto and turn to the fourth page on the quo warranto. Item number two is very clear, Lisa. Why don't you let, if you can, read it. I don't know if you can. Okay, so for those individuals who have failed or refused to produce an affidavit as required by 5 U.S.C. Code Section 3332, demand that those persons provide the U.S. attorney and this court with the compulsory affidavit within 10 days. And then it says in this writ of quo warranto, for those individuals who do not produce as described above, and those who have admitted they do not possess the requisite affidavit, and those who have produced defective affidavits, this is where it's strong. The teeth is right here. Immediately terminate their appointments or positions, render all official acts, bills, laws, regulations, or any other official actions whatsoever, including the appointment of any subordinates, void ab initio, and replace and restore all proper former office holders until competent replacements can be lawfully appointed. We have a minute left, Lisa. How are we going to enforce this? Do we know?
Well, we are waiting still for a response from the U.S. Attorney, D.C. U.S. Attorney, and, you know, moving forward. So we're waiting on that. But I know that, you know, this incredible God's warriors, you know, and their shields are their nobleness and their strength and principles is Todd Callender and Ken Ferguson and, you know, the team at Back's Choice and your support. Like, this is... You know, we're going to fight this. You know, these people need to answer these questions. Or, you know, if it was a mishap, then and they provide their oaths. I mean, that's the goal, is that they actually have them.
Right.
You know, that's what we would want.
Okay. Well, this is what we're going to go after. And this is what we, the people, must step up and do. And so for those that are looking for a copy of this, I'm going to put it up in my Substack as well, annevandersteel.substack.com. You'll find this tonight after the show. It'll be there. Please read this and get on it for you, all of your public officials. And Lisa McGee with Vax Choice, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Anne.
And that's a wrap for tonight's show. I appreciate everybody stopping by again, as always. And we will see you again tomorrow night for another edition of Right Now with Anne Vandersteel.